Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Hosted
Now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take a red pill. You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's the baby?
You are all fools to challenge me. I'll crush you. Time since I've been at full power. Come at me with everything you've got, understand?
You know what? We're gonna eat that sauce up for breakfast.
You're listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show.
You are compelled to listen.
Oh, no, don't start with it. See, you think it's the devil's tongue and you think it's a joke, but
you
it's
are
real.
Compelled.
If you will listen.
Yeah, will you just cut it out and talk normal?
You will listen to
me. Please, you know what I'm
every
talking
chance
about.
You get,
you
every
minute.
You will keep your radio, and you will turn the volume up even
you
higher.
It's a big joke, but you're tearing down the foundations of our nation.
The entire foundation
funny.
Around
very
our
funny.
Ears.
Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Welcome, everybody, friends, folks, foes, and fellow pirate mateys, to this week's latest edition of Pirate Radio Podcasts. It's show number 177 with our special guest of the week, Kyler Davenport. He is himself an author, musician, veteran podcast host, and longtime social media personality. All topics are pretty much on the table, including his many reflections on life, career, and coping with PTSD. So, very much looking forward to this. Just a minute or two here of in-house matters to address. Reminding everyone, of course, to be sure to drop by WPRPN.com. Sign up is free. Get involved. Take a look around at the links we have available, including the Operation Secret Santa 2020. Of course, Christmas was just a couple of months ago, but this is the sort of campaign where we need to be working on things straight through the entire year, really focusing on doing what we can to better help various worthy grassroots community causes. Our email address is pirate1radio@protonmail.com. If you're wanting to hit us up with any guest or show suggestions, of course, that's also how you are best able to send us PayPal donations. We don't quite yet qualify for the Super Chat on YouTube, unfortunately, because of what they did just in the last year or so, the demonetization of all small independent channels doing all they can to, well, not allow us to get the kind of exposure that we would ultimately hope to, but we are on an upward trajectory. There's no doubt about that. So yes, indeed, be sure as well to like, comment, share, subscribe, and always where you can find us out there on social media, hit the notification button. All of our links are available, along with Kyler's as well, too, let's not forget. This go-round show number 177 of Pirate Radio Podcasts in the show description area. And I don't think I've even introduced myself to this point. If I have not, of course, I am myself, as always, the Robin Hood's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder. So, I think that about does it for now. Pirate Joe, was there anything that we missed out on? Let's have you get your say in here. Did I? How was the introduction?
I don't know. I just got the other receiver on, and it seems to be going. It's streaming. And,
yes.
Yeah, we have, I think we have 7 or 8 people in YouTube right now. Hello out there.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. So, yes, welcome everybody who is joining us here via YouTube. Dana Shiver, a big word of thanks to Dana, who, once again, as we were saying, we were not able to qualify for these Super Chats yet, but Dana, she knows what to do, and she knows how things work here. She is herself able, she's coming through for us in a big way, actually, with yet another $20 donation this week through PayPal, pirate1radio@protonmail.com. So if, as, you know, the way things seem to be in her situation, it's within her means to help our project along, we very much appreciate that. If people are more financially strapped, shall we say, that you know, that's where we really appreciate all the comments that they leave and the reminding sharing of content and so forth. On the fence with Musa as well too. Yeah, I think he's actually out of New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken. Jennifer Knight. Oh, that's, you know, it's great to see you there, Jennifer. And that reminds me, one of the things we're going to talk about here just in brief was to give a kind of a shout out to Pirate Larry, who's, I believe, now in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken, at a rehabilitation center of sorts. Of course, he went through a pretty rough patch there just a month or two ago, health-wise, and is doing all he can right now to get things better in order as far as, I guess, the flow of his ki and everything else is concerned. So we're, you know, you're very much in our thoughts there, Pirate Larry. Was somebody wanted to jump in?
Well, if I may, I was going to interrupt you sooner. Just for the listeners out there who are disorientated right now, this is V, host of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, which usually takes up this time slot on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And this time, Friday is usually a replay. But instead of having a replay, I thought it'd be a great idea to have Kyler Davenport's interview with Pirate Radio simulcast. So that is why you're hearing this different program right now. So guys, just stay with us. This is still RBN, and I have to remind everyone to go to republicbroadcasting.org, give support, and also give support to our brother and sister stations like APRI. And I will talk to you guys in the after show.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much, V. So there are various outlets which from time to time do pick us up and simulcast, as well as I do believe the term is syndicate. So we're seeing more of that these days, more of our content getting out there. And we're noticing, you know, an uptick with the subscribers via YouTube and so forth. But it does mean a lot to us. Reverend Jim via DLive, he's another big supporter of the show, and we couldn't say enough about him as far as what he's, you know, been doing to help us out. Angel Espino, PSN-radio, let's not forget him. Another great guy doing a spectacular job over there via his network, picking us up and helping to, you know, restream our content on a regular basis now is what we've been told. So I'll have to drop by there and actually check out what he has archived exactly. And the Global Enlightenment Network as well, too. Daryl, I know if you're listening, Daryl, many thanks. And just once again, I don't know what really to say more in the way of expressing gratitude. But really, that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at here this week, conversation-wise, among a number of other items as well, too, with Kyler. The way that with networking and focusing on the grassroots, it's, you know, really important to work together, that perhaps we can produce some sort of synergy of sorts. And, well, I'm not sure. What are you thinking, Kyler? I know you've got some pretty big ideas in mind and a project that you've been working on here. So what's the end goal? What's the vision exactly consist of? And by the way, welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your scheduled to drop by and join us.
Well, you know, yeah, I just got off air, and we do six nights a week, and it's a grueling schedule, 18 hours a day in the studio, 6 days a week. No, my big dream has always been to bring producers, directors, hosts, administrators together on one website, and to have all of their shows scheduled and outlined with their guests and when they're coming on and when they play and so forth, and have a blog spot for our writers. We have some great writers around the world, and have a blog spot, special spot for them, and have an educational side for young producers who want to learn the broadcasting business, and a place for our projects, missions, and programs, and special events for our fundraisers, and to pick a specific nonprofit every 3 months to raise money for. I wanted to do that for all of the producers, even if it's $30, even if it's $100, it's something. And I wanted to try to de-inflate these massive egos that some of these producers have. And I've been in this business 16 years, and I've done over 2,600 shows, and I've seen a lot of big egos in my time. And some of these producers just do not understand the power in cross promotion. They just do not understand the power in cross-promotion and what it means to each other. I mean, I even cross-promote you if you're on at the same time as me. I cross-promote Marty over there with TLC Radio, and she's on at the same time as me. It doesn't matter to me. I cross-promote everyone, and I feel like people are going to choose the content, choose the title, and go toward that and be, you know, be magnetized toward that particular show. But that's my dream. That's my dream. And, of course, most people tell me, oh, we're already doing that. We're already doing that. Well, no, you're not. You're not doing what I want to do, you know. And I'm not trying to be a big ego. I'm not trying to be the big boss, you know. But I have this special idea, and I think it's going to work out real well if we can just all pull together. And I would like to have monthly meetings with all of the producers, all the hosts, and share ideas about the future of broadcasting. Where is broadcasting going in the next 10 years? And I would like to share information and ideas about new ways of doing things, you know, in the business with each other.
Yeah, the monthly meeting mention, it sounds like something where I know even after 5 years that I still have a lot of learning to do in the sense that I never attended any formal broadcasting school. And everything that we've done up to this point pretty much has been improvisation and intuition, really. So I think everyone could stand to benefit from a little more exposure to formal schooling, as it were. So, you know, one of the things, well, I don't know. Why don't you tell us more about what you have in mind exactly, and you did get a chance to check out our FAQ page as well too, over via WPRPN.com. You, the comments you left over on Skype, one of the many comments, is that it was similar but not exactly on the same page as what you have in mind. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about how similar it is to your vision and where the differences might lay.
I love your color scheme. I love your graphics. I love your layout. I love your infrastructure. I love the way you've got everything laid out. I wouldn't change very much in that department. I would add some things like the blog, the honorable blog spot for all of our great writers. I would add a chat for producers to be able to chat full time around the clock. You know, some of us insomniacs get up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and want to hop on and talk to some other producers. I would do that. I would definitely have like an old TV guide. It would be up there for all the shows Monday through Sunday with the dates each month changing, and all of the upcoming guests. It would be a lot of work because a lot of folks, you know, like V doesn't pre-promote his shows right now, and V and I have talked about this. I promote every show I do. I pre-promote every single show I do, and I always just say Kyler Davenport Live with Crew, and then if I do have a special guest, I'll go ahead and add them in. But my dream is to have like a Disney World kind of website where people are drawn to it from all over the world. I want to have Buddhist chants in there. I want to have Hindu. I want to have the Bhagavad Gita, the Lotus Sutra. I want to have the Tibetan Book of the Dead type stuff in there. I want to have mysticism. I want to have the Atman. I want to find the center self. I want to have a lot of different things in there that will draw different cultures into the group. I want to have an art section. I want to have an Instagram section. We're photographers. I want to post our photography. I'm a digital artist. I want to post my art in there. I want to post my music. I'm a singer, musician. I have a couple of CDs out. And I want to post other musicians' work in there as well. I want to work with indie artists, and I want to bring them on the new shows and share their music with all of the other network producers in the group. So, you know, just a few of those things might ring a bell with you that are different. And I do want to have that monthly meeting where we all come together and bang heads on where we think broadcasting is going in the next 10 years, because I think there's going to be some major changes, especially with this censorship that's going on with Facebook right now and our decrease in freedom of speech and freedom of opinion, and all of the political correctness that's going on right now. in this genre, this broadcasting genre of alternative radio. So we have to fight that. And in order to fight that, I think if we come together as a strong force, a strong, diverse group, I think we can fight that. Because if there's not something that I can do, well, you can do it, Jaffe. And if there's not something you can do, V can take it on. And if there's an article that's needing to go out for breaking news and one of us can't do it, two others can. And we can find a back door. So, you know, those are some of the things that, I want to do.
You read my mind when you say censorship. Pretty much you managed to take the words right out of my mouth. So, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. That it really is critical, of course, that we stand in opposition to that. I mean, this is not what Western values ought to be about, shutting right. people down or, you know, not allowing them the freedom to have their opinion, no matter how ridiculous or wild or flat earth, for example, or Mandela effect it might be. I mean, why not start censoring right. those people? Because I mean, they do it with the Holocaust simply because people have they dare to question the official narrative, for example.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, flat earth, Mandela effect, yeah, let's start shutting them down because it's just how utterly absurd those the beliefs are. No, obviously I jest. But as much as I do not support either of those two worldviews, the Mandela effect or flat earth, that I still support them in their right to say what it is that that they feel. So a bottom line, we should be educated. We have to have an open conversation, of course, an exchange of ideas. We all have something to learn from one another. You know, so and constantly new information is being presented. Yeah, I say that with a special emphasis on the, you know, presenting to people from all directions and, you know, various in various manners. Of course, there's so much power in information. We got to be careful separating the wheat from the chaff. Is it pure, you know, factual information? Is it misinformation where the people are just right. mistaken? Or is it disinformation where people are consciously working to pull the wool over our eyes, you know,
right.
for particular reasons? So,
right.
But let me just give a quick shout out to the remaining number of people that we have here that I did not get to from the get-go. Mr. Anderson, Steve G. Howdy. We already, of course, acknowledged On the Fence with Musa, who he's quite active there in the comments section and talking about new Discord viewers today, including the Vinny Eastwood team. So shout out to Alistair Williams, comedian. I'm not sure who that character is. Any idea, Alistair Williams, the comedian, Kyler? I've never heard of this person.
No, I haven't heard that person either.
Let me see what else we got here. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, I think that's good for now, but a lot of first-time listeners hit it home. So, all right, well, we're working on doing that as best we can here, Mr. Musa. So, and now Jennifer Knight did make the comment here that she's saying, you remind me of the show, what's it called, Miles to Go Before I Sleep, the Ron White character. I don't know if she's referring to me or you. So is Miles to Go Before I Sleep, is that something that rings a bell with you?
Oh, not at all. Yeah,
all right. But he, you know, Musa was a step ahead of us there, hashtag freedom of speech, right before we we got into it there just a minute or two ago. So,
right.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say I interviewed Jesus Christ a couple of years ago. So, you know, that beats Flat Earth and the Mandela Effect. I've got one on you. So, That was an interesting interview. I would like to find that and send it to you, actually. You would probably like to listen to it. It was most interesting to interview Jesus Christ.
Oh,
but,
How did it go?
It was interesting. It was mysterious. It was eclectic. It was a little traumatizing. It was weird, man. I'm just sitting there with my mouth open the whole interview. You know, this guy was real mysterious, and he answered every question with a question, and he was just real mysterious. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I'll try to find the interview and send it to you. But I wanted to go back to my beginnings, if we could, and speed through
your backstory. Your bio, and sure.
Absolutely. I started in the emergency care business when I was 14 years old because of my father. We ran around with people in the funeral business, and we ran around with a lot of detectives because my stepbrother actually was a top lieutenant with the police department and worked for Henry Wade and Bill Decker in Dallas, Texas. And he was a top cop. He was a dirty cop. Real dirty cop, I guess one of the dirtiest cops in the world, if you wanted to say that. He was also the lead investigator for the JFK assassination, which is interesting.
Just imagine that, eh? So what years are we talking exactly, Kyler? Back in the 70s, 80s?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? The way that these, I'm sorry if, you know, I saw a little bit of what you shared with us in Skype as well, just in the last day or so regarding this. Individual, and it is a topic that I was wanting to get into a little more. But before we do that, the comment I was just going to make is, isn't it amazing the way that just, you know, they call us conspiracy theorists, some of us at least. I'm not sure. It's quite a story, of course, where that whole label comes from in the first place. But to see these people, these characters being put in these key positions time and time again at the helm, at with levers of power, having the impact on society and influencing our outlook on the world and these historical events. So it's just, you know, one coincidence after the next, and we're just expected to, you know, look at things as if there's not really anything to see there at all. So go ahead.
I grew up with cops. I'm gonna skip around here, okay? I grew up with cops that killed a lot of black people in front of me and laughed about it on the weekend, totally drunk at our ranch down in East Texas. And I've seen a lot of death. I've seen a lot of murder. I've seen a lot of people beat to death and thrown in the Trinity River, handcuffed and laughed about, made fun of. My brother had a lot of notches in his gun, killing so many blacks and so many drug dealers. He used to take me on bus with him when I was very, very young. Back then, you could get by with those kinds of things. Plus, I think he had an axe to grind with me because he was my half-brother. But I've seen a lot of blacks killed by a lot of cops in Dallas, Texas. And that caused my trauma to begin. I started in the Dallas Emergency Corps when I was 14, driving the light truck. We used to have light trucks back in the day. And working the engine and going out on stabbings and shootings and MVA, motor vehicle accidents. And then I graduated to homicide and got to run with the homicide boys and girls. And we were right there in the midst of the crematorium where I burned over 250 bodies in my time in the retorch at 2,000 degrees. Dug a lot of babies out of toilets that were aborted by 12-year-old girls when I was a EMT, emergency medical technician. And then I went on to school at Baylor University and went to Trinity Valley to get my paramedic, and then on to R.H. Dedman to get my second degree paramedic, ACLS, cardiac degree. I have a degree in emergency medicine from Baylor University, and I have been in the embalming business at Dudley M. Hughes. I grew up at Dudley M. Hughes, living in the apartment above the embalming room. So I started embalming at about 15. Started taking brains out and putting the caps back on with super glue at 15, 16 years old. Started working with the medical examiners at the funeral home to do the V cuts on the bodies for autopsy to pull the organs out. And dumped a garbage can back in the middle to fill the chest back up and the thorax back up and the abdominal area back up and pour plaster Paris in the body and get it all sewed back up, looking good for the family when they came to the stateroom to see it. Worked a lot of stabbings, a lot of shootings. As I said, I worked in gangland. I worked in the worst part of the ghetto, and I've had brains blown out in the back of my ambulance by former gang members and gang members both, who have actually shot the brains out of my patient in the back of my ambulance with brains going all over my my body. I was raped when I was 14 years old by that mean stepbrother I told you about. Y'all can look him up if you want to, and then you can give me hell on email. I don't care. His name is K.L. Anderton. K.L. Anderton. He is actually filling out documents concerning Jack Ruby and the JFK assassination. You can look him up online, and you can see who I am. I am one of the few remaining people who know exactly what happened to JFK. I'll leave that there. I went on to become a speaker, lecturer, and teacher in many different forms. I have a degree in neuro-linguistic programming. I took the advanced course that is given to Central Intelligence Agents and Federal Bureau of Investigation agents and field agents for interrogations. I'm a writer, a prolific writer. I've got several hundred articles around the world. I'm a poet, spoken word artist. And I'm a musician, and I've run with some of the greatest musicians in the world. I used to run with Willie and Wayland and the boys. Luckenbach, Texas is actually a real thing, folks, and I've been out there. Started out at the Debonair Dance Land in the Old Top Rail in Dallas, Texas, playing with some of the old boys and running roadie for them, carrying their guitars and banjos and mandolins and fiddles. And I grew up and went on to... have a best friend with Side of the Road Gang. I played Whiskey River with them. It's been death, 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 death my whole life. And of course, in the ambulance, it's been working cardiac arrest and respiratory arrest and intubating people and starting bilateral IVs with 14-gauge needles and trying to bring people back that were in neurogenic shock or hypovolemic shock or whatever type of shock they were in, and get them defibrillated with 400 watt seconds and bring them back from ventricular fibrillation back to a normal sinus rhythm. And I went on and got, you know, from 14 to whatever, I was in the medical industry. Somehow, some way, I was doing life and death. I went on to become an undercover operative for Governor Ann Richards. I worked on a special ops team to investigate Medicare, Medicaid fraud that doctors were committing at that time. Back in the 90s, I worked for ABC News 2020 with Barbara Walters and Gareth Harvey. And Tony Pagano undercover. My story that went around the world was Victims of Greed. I was the main undercover operative on that program, Victims of Greed, which went around the world. I've been in the National Enquirer, whole full page in the National Enquirer when I was taking homeless people out of cardboard boxes who were smoking crack in downtown Dallas and turned them into television producers and directors. They said it could never be done. I did it. I've got the proof I did it. Decided to become a television producer. So I went to Community Access Television and became a television producer, director, became an on-air host for several shows, became a producer for several shows at Cable Access. I was an activist and advocate for senior citizens at the time. Of course, I was against abuse and all of these Medicaid nursing homes that were going on where they were tying people up and drugging people to death, over-drugging people with too many pharmaceuticals. That's one reason why I got involved with the governor's office and another organization called United People for Better Nursing Home Care. Ms. Catherine Bates was my mentor and taught me how to advocate for senior citizens. Went on to become a radio talk show host at an all-black station in Dallas, Texas. I'd rather not mention right now. They didn't like me. They hated my guts. They couldn't stand me. They couldn't stand my delivery and the things that I was talking about. So I moved on into radio, started at talkshow.com. I had five listeners at the time, thought I was a big star. And then I moved on to Blog Talk Radio, and then now, of course, we're with Sam Broadcaster, and we're broadcasting all over the world, simulcasting with many different networks around the world, and bringing in new hosts to train them. But I guess that rape at 14 was the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I was raped with a weapon in my anus. I almost bled to death. I was locked in my casket, one of our old caskets that had been out in the garage for a long, long time. I was locked in there by my stepbrother what seemed like an eternity, bleeding. He was drunk, and he finally let me out of that casket and left me lying on the floor bleeding and said, "I dare you to tell anybody what happened because I will come back and kill you." And I knew he would come back and kill me. So I took myself home in my car. My seats were so bloody and nasty, and I went home, and my father asked me what had happened, and I wouldn't tell him. I just told him I got in a really bad fight. So I still carry that PTSD with me, and I carry homicide with me. I worked so many nasty homicides in my life. I've cut so many people down from rafters swinging. As I said, I've dug so many babies out of toilets that were aborted by 12-year-old girls who had been having sex with their stepfather and had aborted so many babies back on Interstate 1 out of Bossier City in Louisiana. And I have carried so many maggoted bodies and body bags, and I worked two major plane crashes in Dallas, Texas, picking up hundreds and hundreds of body parts, trying to put them back together again at the ME's office when Dr. Petty was the chief medical examiner for the Dallas County Morgue. A good friend of mine who just recently died with cancer, friends for 35 years, Dr. Ron Anderson, one of the greatest men that ever lived, was a good friend of mine and helped me get into the medical business, actually. But homicide was my worst traumatic experience, dealing with homicides every day and every night, and seeing people with knives in their chest and seeing their heads decapitated and they're disemboweled and, you know, treading blood up over my ankles in all of these houses and places that we would go into. And my body is broken from carrying people up and downstairs, four flights of stairs. And, you know, just being in the business of crawling into cars that are overturned and, you know, catching on fire, trying to rescue people and pull them out and using the jaws of life and the K-12 saw, trying to rescue people and trying to start IVs inside of an overturned car is no fun at all. So I've been through the gamut on all of this stuff, you know, and I've been there, done that. I've written a book called Modern Evolution of Minds. And I've got a second series coming out, the Advanced Human Communication under Modern Evolution of Minds, talking about the linguistics and syntax and spelling and the meaning of our vocabulary and our language and where it came from and where it originated from and how important it is to have a good vocabulary and a good understanding of words and what you're saying and why you're saying it and how you're saying it and who you're saying it to, and understanding transmission and receiving in communication and noise in communication, voice rhythm, volume, inflection, and so forth. So I'm fairly educated. I guess I have an IQ of about 180, which with that and a dime, I could probably get a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Doesn't matter that much anymore how big your IQ is. There's so many smart people out there. There's a lot of competition for the smart seat. Love radio. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love V over there at RBN. As much as I hate to say it, I love that old boy. Agatha has been so wonderful to me and Mary, and is helping us with our fundraiser to move off grid. I just recently got out of cancer surgery 3 and a half months ago. I almost died on the table. I had a massive tumor the size of your fist on my left kidney that was eating into my kidney. I had to go in there and get that thing taken off, and they removed part of my kidney in that process. It's been one of the toughest recoveries that I've ever had, even including my colorectal surgery. If I forget that to get that taken care of. Colorectal surgery was the worst in the world. I mean, that would throw a big 400-pound biker to his knees crying like a baby. And the cancer surgery, if you could see my stomach right now, my gut, you could see this scar, you would understand. They opened half of my body up, tore me apart, took that tumor out, and now I've got cancer on my right side we're worried about. So Mary's broken, my soulmate of 21 years, nursing. She's nursed 19 years now. She's a specialist. She's state certified in four states. She is a wonderful nurse, and she's broken. She can't stand her life anymore. She's got body dysphoria. She needs breast augmentation. She's got fibromyalgia. So she's coming home, and her coming home is going to decrease our income to the point where we're going to need to raise $2,000 to buy an RV and go back off grid. We lived off grid 6 years. We enjoyed it. We loved it. I want to die off grid, and that's what I'm going to do. And so we need to raise $2,000, and I hope all the networks that are listening right now and all of you that have been so wonderful to us will help us do that. I know V has vowed to do that, and Agatha has vowed to do that at RBN and the Red Pill Hardcore, and I appreciate them with all of my heart. V's been kind of like a brother to me. We started out with a little kind of weird relationship, kind of a love-hate relationship, had to learn to trust each other, but we're friends now. I have a great executive staff. Billy White is with me. Billy's been thrown around like a ping-pong ball from here to there to yonder, but he's my friend, and I love him. Rusty Bryan's with me, and John LaCrone, the great legal advisor on my team, is with me. John LaCrone, I'm sure everybody's heard of him. We have a great executive staff. We have a great crew, and we have a great radio show, very powerful. It's R-rated, though. And we are having to make some changes. If we're going to ever get some big sponsors, we're going to have to stop cursing like sailors on my show. So we are going to do that. We had a meeting last night about that. And we are going to calm it down to a more G rating. And we're going to continue to sail along these waters and set our rudder straight and put up our sails and continue to go on until I pass away with this cancer that's in my liver right now, eating up my other kidney, Jaffe.
So, well, what do we say to all of that? Other than I think your life would make for an incredible movie. There's no doubt about that. And a book as well, too, or three. But you've done a lot of writing over the course of your time here on this planet. It's amazing all the people that you've met and had to interact with. Your stepbrother sounds like a real piece of work. There's no doubt about that. And why he's not in jail right now is really, I think, I mean, based on what you've shared with us here, it's really a really poor reflection of the state of America's, you know, so-called justice system. I don't ever refer to these things as such particularly. I prefer more the legal system is the way that I cannot help but, you know, see things, whether it's Canada, America, South Korea, you name it, because there's very little justice to these legal systems that we have in place and that do rule and lord over us, that impact all of our lives as they do. Your health situation is really quite something, obviously, and the fact that you've endured to this point, from all indications, it's amazing that you're even still alive, obviously. So, but with your RV, rather than the money, why doesn't somebody just, I'm sure with enough listeners out, there's got to be somebody who has an extra RV kicking around that they can donate to you. I'm sure that would be possible.
I hope, Jaffe. I hope that comes to pass.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to put out Agatha, bless her heart. Agatha's going to help us put a GoFundMe together. I'm not that smart when it comes to those kinds of things. So her and Mary are going to work on that, mostly Agatha, and I'm sure V will give her some input. We're going to work on a GoFundMe and try to raise $2,000, and we have a friend that lives over here, not too far in the northwest here, who owns an RV lot, and he has some really good deals, and he's got references, and I know one of my next-door neighbors deals with him. we're going to go over there and buy one, and we're going to make payments on it, about $250 a month. We can afford that. We just can't afford where we're living now with Marion coming home broken. And so in 3 months, we will be homeless, Jeffy. We're gonna be homeless in 3 months if I don't get that RV. And I just wanted to put that out over the network tonight. I know that y'all don't want us homeless, as sick as I am and as sick as she is. And I know that everybody's going to jump in on this thing and help. And we've had a lot of blessings, a lot of prayer. And we've had a lot of people thinking about us. A lot of people love us out there. We'll see how much they love us when I put that fundraiser up. But back to my brother, Jeffy, I wanted to say that back in those days, the cops were all so dirty, Jeffy. I mean, Jeffy, I cannot tell you how dirty the cops were, not on this show without cussing a lot. I can't tell you how dirty and nasty and filthy and perverted and rotten and mean those cops were. My stepbrother kicked my sister-in-law in the stomach and aborted her baby all over the floor out in the storeroom, and I saw it all happen. He kicked her in the stomach, and he aborted that baby, and he locked her in that storeroom, and it was so cold outside, Jeffy. And the neighbors called the police, and here they come, 6 squad cars pull up. When they found out it was him, he pulled his gun out, and he said, "One of you, you know what, you know what, you know what, you know what, make one step toward the front of my sidewalk, you're dead. I will kill you dead." And they all drove off and left her bleeding to death in that storeroom. And those are the kinds of things he got by with, including stealing money from drug deals and drug dealers. They would go in and put masks on, and they would steal money from drug dealers when they knew they were getting their big dose of money. And they would go in and steal, and that's how they bought their farms, and that's how they bought their ranches, and that's how they bought their cars and their trucks and their boats, Jeffy. And I grew up with all of that nasty stuff, Jeffy. And I tell you, it's never going to leave me, Jeffy. It's never going to leave me. I've saw so many people murdered on that Trinity River in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned you really laid things out there quite effectively with your backstory. It doesn't seem like you're holding much back. Although I would like to get into the whole JFK business. I find that quite fascinating, the claim that you know the truth to what actually happened. But here's the thing. You also got a little bit into Eastern philosophy, which is quite fascinating, because if, you know, in our pursuit of truth, that from my perspective and standpoint, I think a few of our listeners as well, too, that we have to explore a wide realm of thoughts and ideas if we are genuinely committed to seeking, you know, philosophical truth in all of its various forms. But from the Eastern tradition, the word that I'm constantly reminded of, and I know Tommy Schaefer, if he's listening, is going to make fun of me because I do bring it up from time to time. The word is samskara. I'm not sure. Have you ever heard that term, samskara?
Samskara, yes.
No.
Samskara?
Samsara is what, nirvana, samsara, correct. But then on the other hand, samskara. Mm-hmm. It's Sanskrit. But basically, we'll share a link here with you in the live streaming area, and maybe hopefully here on through Skype as well. But basically, I could do.
Well, it's kind of like. You're talking something like Atman. I would call samskara something like Atman, or Indian philosophy at least, or Indian religion.
Well,
you know, the impressions or some kind of dispositions that develop inside the person, inside the self, you know, perception, inference, choices,
well,
preparation, practice, you know, interaction
okay.
with others,
sure.
yoga.
Sure. I mean, hey, you know, you also mentioned your fascination with the history of language. Etymology, yeah. Philology, and so forth. Are you familiar with Sir William Jones?
A little bit.
Okay, well, there we go. So now we're talking. So he was apparently one of the first people to realize the connection between Sanskrit, English, and Latin. And, you know, I think I'm not sure as far as that goes. I might be one of the first people to realize the parallels and connection between English, Sanskrit, and Korean, as you probably know, that's where I live. And trust me, there's a multitude of these words that have been around for ages, which at their core, the prefixes and so forth, that there's the parallels and the similarities are indeed quite striking. So samskara in Indian philosophy and religions, they are mental impressions, as kind of you were getting at, recollections or psychological imprints. So in Hindu philosophies, samskaras are a basis for the development of karma theory. In Buddhism, the Sanskrit term is samskara is used to describe formations, yada, yada, yada. So here's the thing.
Your ideas, your actions taken together, as I would see it, you know, make up your, as I would call it, consciousness or your conditioning, you know, that forms your reality eventually.
Well, the key word there, let's not forget, like in bringing this kind of all together full circle, really driving the point home, samskara, scar, you know, it's right there, it's staring us right in the face. As I was saying, these parallels that you can sometimes see between English, Sanskrit, and other languages such as Latin or even Korean. So these are scars that we all have, imprints and impressions, and they leave their mark. Our psyches are, you know, it's quite troubling, the impact that they have on our consciousness. So how we deal with that is another story. Meditation and medication, I'm not sure if you've ever noticed the similarity between those two terms. I have. It's just one little letter you flip around from a C to a T. And trust me, I do, you know, very much believe that meditation is medication and that it's free and it's natural. And that's why the powers that be, I would say, the pharmaceutical, you know, drug pushing establishment, they don't want us to kind of connect these dots and see.
No, they don't. They are making some changes here in the Northwest to get a little more mystical, but not very much. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a very famous saying that says, "On this path, effort never goes to waste, and there is no failure. Even a little effort toward spiritual awareness will protect you from the greatest of evils and fear." And, you know, I think we need to take more of this to heart. And I think, you know, I'm doing shows now on metaphysical subjects and issues, and people are kind of taken back by it. They don't really get it, you know, that we need to be studying yoga. We need to be studying some of these esoteric things. We need to be dealing with consciousness and talking about consciousness and self and the Atman and many of these esoteric things, because it will make us better. It will make us better, and it's a remedy for all evils, as is said in samskaras. It's an evil for all remedies, and it can help us in our health. It can help us in our interaction with other people. And it can help us to grow in our job and, you know, whatever we do in our career. But people just don't understand this. You know, people are so cold, and people have become so callous in our culture today that many of these things, including religion, you could include Christianity in that, has been watered down to a point where people really don't take it seriously. And people don't understand that they need to take personal responsibility, that if you make the best use of all of these potentials, that you have a great chance of avoiding the effects of all of this karma, this bad karma. If you're a fatalist, if you have no confidence in self-effort at all, then you're going to remain a victim of your samskaras. You know, they're subtle impressions of your past actions. And we can talk about karma if you want to. But as long as we're alive, we're consciously performing some type of action. And not all of them are going to contribute to the formation of a better existence. So consciousness is important and awareness is important.
Oh, absolutely. And the word karma itself, do you know what it means? Just one word in English. I'm not sure if you're up to speed on this or not, but it's quite important and you know, critical that people out there listening as well too kind of manage to get their, well, I'm not sure if you say get their heads wrapped around this or not, but just take this to heart maybe and think about this a little bit. Do you know the word karma in one word?
Well, I use it. You have two really good meanings. You have, as I sit here, I'm looking at my Bhagavad Gita, and I'm looking at my Tibetan Book of the Dead, and I'm looking at my Kabbalah, and I'm looking at my Torah. You know, you have the Hinduistic and you have the Buddhistic, or the Buddhism, the sum of a person's action is karma in this previous states of existence. It's supposedly deciding your fate or your future existences, your destiny or fate, following cause and effect. We can talk about cause and effect all day. There are many different schools of thought on this, from the Hindu to the Buddhist. But karma is basically action, or inaction. And you can, use it as a noun, and, you can talk about karma means action, work, or deed. It can refer to spiritual principle of cause and effect. We can go into cause and effect all night and talk about that. I love it. Your intent, as we talked about a while ago, and your actions as an individual, and the future. Your future is at stake. People should think more about this principle we call karma.
Yeah, that's right. Action is simply all it is. And with the inaction, that's where I see more of the Taoist kind of approach. The term there is Wu Wei, essentially meaning the doing by not doing. You know, the times and occasions where rather than speaking out and or lashing out or acting in whatever manner, we just maintain stand our ground, I guess, and don't do much at all. But in doing that, we actually accomplish something.
You know, I've learned more. I've learned more about Wu Wei recently. I have a friend who has been traveling all over the Far East, and he's been talking to me on the phone on Skype about causality, and we've talked about rebirth and early development, and we've talked about Jainism, and we've talked about Shiism and Shinto and Taoism, and Falun Gong is something that I'm really getting into now. Falun Gong, talking about the illegal organ transplants. I just recently interviewed a gentleman who lives in South Korea.
Mitchell Gerber is actually Vietnam.
Vietnam.
That's right.
I interviewed him in depth, and he's coming back on the show.
Excellent. Great.
We talked a lot about Falun Gong, and we talked about the illegal organ transplants, which are getting worse and worse and worse as we speak. They're not getting any better. So, yeah, I study all of these things, you know, Christianity, Judaism, psychoanalysis, theosophy, spiritualism, all of these new age different things, old age different things. I grew up Christian, grew up in church, Sunday school, believing in Jesus and the birth of Jesus and all of that kind of thing. And then I got off on my own and started thinking independently and studying all of these different schools of thought like Taoism and Jainism, Buddhism, as I've said before, Hinduism. And I've learned a lot of things. And it's very confusing. I've told people, you know, the more educated you become, sometimes the more insane you become. When I went into my surgery for my cancer and I knew I might die on the table, I was thinking, well, now what in the hell is all this about? what should I be thinking right now? You know, it's hard. It's really, really difficult. I've always had trouble with the resurrection. I've always had trouble with Jesus and his history, his lost history. I've always had trouble with the many different analogies concerning Jesus. I've always had trouble with miracles. I've always had trouble with prayer. Does it really work? How does it work? Why does it work? When does it work? Who does it work for? I've always been a very, very curious person, and I ask way too many questions, and I'm very much overly analytical, and that can be a detriment to you. That can be definitely a liability to anyone. You understand?